Hello and welcome to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with relevant news, recent developments, and must-have information about what's happening inside the Mat-Su School District.
Good morning. This is Jillian Morrissey, the Public Information Officer for the Mat-Su Borough School District. And I am here in the studio today with Tracy Peterson, who is one of our Executive Directors of Instruction. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you.
And I'm really excited to have Tracy in the studio today because we are going to talk about something that I'm really excited to learn more about. It's something I don't know that much about, and it's the acronym PBIS. So, Tracy, I really want to start there. Let's, what is PBIS and what are we doing in the schools with it?
All right. Awesome. Well, PBIS is an acronym that stands for Positive Behavior Interventions and Supports. And what it really is it's a framework for how we structure our schools for success for students. I can read you a definition, and then we'll kind of break it down a little bit.
That sounds great.
Positive behavior interventions and supports is a school-wide system of support that includes proactive strategies for defining, teaching, and supporting appropriate student behaviors and creating positive school environments, which is, of course, our ultimate goal is having these safe and positive schools for students. Big things in that definition, it's proactive. When we think about behaviors, it's really all about behaviors when we talk about PBIS, student behaviors and adult behaviors.
Huh.
In fact, I would say it's more about adult behaviors than student behaviors. It's about what we do as adults to structure our schools for success for students. It's pretty easy to be reactive with student behaviors. A student misbehaves, we pay attention to that, we react to it, something happens. PBIS is about being proactive and anticipating how students might behave in many different situations. Think of all the different situations that students are in a school day, from when they get on the bus, get off the bus, come into the building, they may go to breakfast, they may go right to their classrooms, they may go to their lockers, they go to their classes. All of our students from kindergarten through 12th grade have multiple teachers and adults that they work with during a school day, all with different expectations. So when we're being proactive instead of reactive to behaviors, we are looking at all those different things that students do throughout the day, and we are structuring them for success. Sounds simple, but it takes a lot of cooperation between the adults in the building.
I know when you say that, I'm even thinking about it. So it's the way that you structure things. So where do you start? What are the foundations? What's the foundation of PBIS? How do you begin this whole process?
That is a great question. Well, I would say that you need to start with having a foundations team in your school, a leadership team with representatives from all the grade levels that are in your school, from all the programs that are in your school, specials, electives if you're in secondary, and having input from all of those people to set up the structures in the school. So that'd be a great place to start, is with the foundations team.
Okay. So what are they first going to look at? Are they looking at places where behavior goes badly? Yeah. And so now we need to reframe it. Is that,
you know, our brains are really kind of, that's how we as humans, we look at what goes bad first. That's kind of part of how we've survived as a species. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think that's where we do start. We look at where things might not be going well, and we start brainstorming. And, you know, we're jumping right into the continuous improvement cycle, but that's a big part of the foundation. What a foundations team does, it goes through the continuous improvement cycle where you first collect data, or you observe, like, where could be a lunchroom area. In high schools, often it's where there are locker banks or lots of hallways that come together, and it can be hard to really supervise well. So you look at those areas, and then you start thinking, how could we structure this a little differently? Could be things like what grade levels use which hallways, or how kids sit in a lunchroom, where they sit, with whom they sit. So those are ways, you know, depending on what the issues are in a school, you structure it for success. So instead of always just looking for the students to you know, maybe make poor choices in those areas, because we expect that, we know that that's what's been happening, we structure it differently.
Interesting. So, okay. So you said something in there that seemed really important. The continuous improvement cycle. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Can you share what is that and how does that whole thing work?
I can. So there's really some things we look at. First, we review what's going on in the school. So like I said, this could be data that you're pulling from common areas or just how kids come in off the bus. So review your data, identify where your needs are. You may have many, many needs, so you might have to prioritize. So that's the next step in the continuous improvement cycle. Prioritize what area needs the most work. So when I was at Kinnick Elementary School, I used to be the principal at Kinnick. We identified some areas. How kids passed in the hallways was a big problem. It was just kind of a free-for-all, just kind of pretty typical in a school. Kids, when they were changing classes or going to lunch or recess, they just left their classrooms and all went out. The problem is that there were other classes going on at the same time, could be right next door. That was a disruption for those students. So we prioritize that. That's an area that needs some improvement because it's not really because students were being disrespectful or anything. They just weren't aware that they were interrupting other students. So prioritize is the next piece of the cycle. Revise what your policies are, your procedures are. That's the next piece. So review, prioritize. Review, prioritize, revise. When you come up with some ideas, take it to the whole staff and adopt procedures that you're going to do. It could be that students are going to line up. They're going to leave the classroom at a voice level 1 or a voice level 0, meaning no talking at all. And then implement is the next piece. So, and that is going on all the time. So you can make great progress within a certain area and keep doing those things. That's part of the continuous improvement cycle. And then you can look at the next area. But what we see that what I found happened when we went through the adopting PBIS as our framework at Kinnick Elementary is you kind of get the momentum going in the right direction, solve one problem, and two or three other problems just kind of get solved along the way.
Interesting. So, yeah. You know what I really love about that? I used to do a lot of work with leadership and how much, I can see this for a school. The fact that you talked about that foundations team, is that what it was called? There's the principal, which is the traditional hierarchical leadership in the school, but you're really getting input from everybody so that it's coming from all levels, all different places. And so everyone has a lot of ownership around moving this forward.
In fact, I would say that's the heart of what PBIS is about. And that I would say that idea of the hierarchical idea of principal as the leader and, everybody kind of does what the principal says. That's not how schools are today. We really are teams. We're much better as teams and we share our leadership, even with students. So really the success, to have success for all students, we all need to be involved in creating that. And one of our tenets in PBIS is that they are all of our kids. They're all of our students. So it's not like you're just Mrs. Smith's students or Mr. Davis's students. They're all of our students, and that's a big part of the philosophy of PBIS. That can be a change for some teachers, and it can be a change for students, but when that switch happens, it just changes the whole climate of a school. So students, in a school that really doesn't treat students like they're all of our kids, they might say, well, you're not my teacher. I don't have to listen, and, it's just not the best climate. When students understand we all show respect for everyone in this school, then we can all share responsibility as adults in the school for every student in the school.
This is Jillian Morrissey. I'm the public information officer for the Mat-Su Borough School District, and I'm here in the studio with Tracy Peterson, one of our executive directors of instruction, and we're talking about positive school climate and culture today and the system of PBIS. So when did PBIS come to the Mat-Su? Is this brand new? Is this old? Where has it fallen?
Well, it's not brand new. There could be things from even before I was here. I've been in the school district for about almost 15 years. But My experience with PBIS was starting in 2010, and our school district had some trainers come up and work with foundations teams. So we pulled together teams. So at that time, I was the principal at Kinnick Elementary School. I think there were about five people. So I had teachers from each grade level. We had at that time, we had a school counselor, we had an instructional coach, and we came together. And over that school year, so that was the FY11 school year, we had 6 days of training with a company called Safe and Civil Schools. Dr. Randy Sprick is the leader of that company. And we just learned about the continuous improvement cycle. We learned about the basic tenets of PBIS. And, you know, in the beginning, it's about kind of changing our philosophy. Even we're beginning to change some of our beliefs about how we should be managing student behaviors. The idea that a teacher is trained to teach a subject and they go in and their job is to teach that subject, but it's somebody else's job to deal with naughty behaviors, that is an old idea and that just doesn't work. So this is about making sure teachers have tools and strategies so that they can manage their classrooms in a positive way. Again, being proactive instead of reactive, setting things up for success. And I haven't even talked really about clear expectations, but again, that's a basic tenet of PBIS, where we have very clear expectations and we communicate those. We use the acronym called CHAMPS, but it stands for conversation level, where we're very clear with students. Here's what the conversation level is for this activity. H is help. How do you get help? We're clear about that. A is the activity. We make it clear to students what the activity is. M is movement. Make it clear to students what the expectation is for movement for this activity. And P is participation. We talk to students about what that looks like. Seems like a lot. Teachers get really fluent with it. And it is a beautiful thing when you go into a classroom and you see clear expectations. Students can tell you what the expectation is. And they're just set up for success. Having clear expectation solves the vast majority of like little small annoying behavior problems that can happen in a classroom just by being clear with students.
Is that where all the level zero and everything comes?
Voice level zero, voice level one, voice level two.
I had no idea. That's
so
great.
At our school, we started, like I said, with this foundations team in 2010. And we, at that time, we really didn't have school-wide expectations at our school. So one teacher might have an expectation for her students in the hallway, but another teacher had different expectations. And they, you know, sometimes students could see that this class can do certain things and another class can't do those things. And it just, you know, that just does not set up a positive climate in a school. So, but it took some time. It took some work to get some teachers like to hold on to their idea about things. They have always done it this way. And it may work.
Right.
It may work really well for that class, but it may not be working well for the whole school.
Right.
So that just takes time and people need to see it being successful. So once people see that success, it kind of breeds more success. So I'm kind of a data geek and I collected data on every office referral starting in 2010. That was part of the foundations training.
At Kinnick.
At Kinnick. They started teaching. They taught us the kinds of things that we needed to collect data on. So just for an example, in the first semester of FY11, so this would have been in the fall of 2010, we had 54 office referrals from teachers.
So that means a teacher was in a classroom, mm-hmm. a behavior happened, and they mm-hmm. were sent to the office.
Yep, it could have been like a student might have escalated up to, you know, teachers had different things like pulling cards or just whatever system that they may have had. And so I had 54 office referrals that I talked with students and, you know, some of those may have been really serious things and some were really, to be honest, not that serious. So keeping data on that, we started analyzing that data. That's what our foundations team did. And I just looking at the data that I collected over the years at Kinnick, in FY15, so I said 54 in FY11, and 2014-15 school year, there were 10 office referrals. So it went from 54 to 10. That's an 80% decrease in office referrals.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
So that meant all of a sudden they were able to, well, first of all, expectations were more clear in the classroom.
Absolutely. Teachers had better skills and strategies that they had learned through this PBIS and just through this training and what we learned with PBIS and just from some school-wide things that we put in place.
That is so interesting. Yeah.
part of that, part of it is having a clear, you have clear expectations, and you also need to have a clear hierarchy of consequences, because no matter how proactive we can be, we can probably deal with 80 or 90%, you know, of behaviors just by being proactive with clear expectations. But kids have bad days. Adults have bad days. So there's times when there will be behaviors. PBAS isn't about like saying, oh, everything's great, and we're just going to ignore things right. that aren't. You know, there are times when students make bad choices. Students have different needs, and things will happen. So having clear hierarchy of consequences or a menu of consequences, like, you know, seat away and maybe a buddy room. We put clear things in place at CONIC, and that, again, it made teachers, it was a strategy that teachers could use, gave them more control in their own classrooms and more confidence in their classrooms that they had the skills that they needed to deal with behaviors that were happening. So that's part of the reduction in office referrals. And really, just when you start looking at data, you start thinking about what does it all mean? What do those numbers mean? What kinds of things are happening? And we came to some agreement on what should be an office referral. You know, there's no magic wand in the principal's office. So really, it should be a very serious behavior that a student exhibits before they're sent to a principal. So,
well, you said that in the beginning, that PBAS is not only about students, it's yep. about adults. So right. that's a lot of what you're talking about right now, is helping adults understand the structure that they are can
exist
in. And
helping teachers understand that my goal is to support them, of course, but it's to keep students in their learning environment. So, and it's their goal as well. It's always a teacher's goal to right. do that. It's, but we've all... I'm a parent. We've all been there where, you know, kind of our amygdala is firing, and we can have an emotional reaction with student behaviors or with our own children's behaviors. One of the things I always talk with my staff a lot about is I have to tell my own children, especially when they were younger, the same thing many times over and over. It's just how it is with our own kids. You know, clean your room, for example. I taught them. I structured it. Made clear my expectations, but I still had to give them reminders, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely have to do that with students, a lot of reteaching. But what I was going to say about the reduction in office referrals, what that really does is it means that kids are staying in their learning environment more. And that's it's a huge benefit of implementing PBIS, is we see an increase in student achievement. And part of that is that kids are in their classrooms more, where they need to be learning. At CONIC, we also had a big reduction in out-of-school suspensions. We looked at alternatives to out-of-school suspensions. We had a 65% decrease in out-of-school suspensions between the 2010-11 school year and last year.
That's a startling number. Yeah. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's
it's
incredible.
It's a big success. And that, I mean, the credit goes to the teachers that embrace this approach to student discipline.
Is PBIS only used in elementary? Is it a secondary practice as well?
It is a secondary practice as well. And it looks a little different in high school, but it's still that same. You have foundations teams or leadership teams. They go through that continuous improvement cycle, identify areas that need maybe some revision, prioritize their needs, and just make plans, procedures around that, then observe, and just keep that cycle going. So that looks the same. And, you know, those things that I just said, having clear expectations with students, that's important. And my daughters are in university. That's important with college professors. It's important with everybody to have clear expectations. So those things, those basic tenets of PBIS really are the same from kindergarten to 12th grade.
That's great. I was just thinking about, well, at first it seemed like a very elementary practice, but now I can see how there's lots of hot spots where problems could arise in secondary. And so right. if you have that foundations team identifying those places, they can start to reduce the instances where those where anything could flare up even. So right. That's really interesting.
Another thing we learned through PBIS that we learned and we started implementing it at CONIC and across our district was this idea of ratio of interactions. ROI. Have you heard anything about ratio of interactions?
I've heard those words before okay. in the hallways.
So what that has to do with, and again, this is, it's important from kindergarten through 12th grade, and I would say even, you know, with everyone. But what it's got to do with is paying attention to our interactions with students and making sure we with Safe and Civil Schools, we go for a 3-to-1 ratio of interactions. And what that means is 3 positive interactions for every negative or redirect. Okay. So, and kids are going to need to be redirected, but there are some students who have a high need for attention, and they have figured out that the best way to get the attention that they need is to, you know, just do some frustrating and annoying things, either with other students or with their teacher. And it's working great for that kiddo, because that kiddo just needs attention, and it doesn't matter if it's positive or negative attention. It's feeding their need. So it's up to us as the adults to make sure that we are giving students attention for the positive things that they're doing. You know, it's not uncommon that students who are, the vast majority of students who are meeting the expectations, doing what they're asked to do, being great students, get no feedback or attention from the adults
right.
that they are meeting those expectations. So in this, I'm talking about beyond the good job. I'm talking about specific feedback, like, you know, I see how hard you're working on that problem and you didn't give up. You're showing perseverance, and that is going to take you far in life. You know, giving students that kind of feedback. And we literally will go into classrooms and tally positives and tally redirects. It's negatives, but what that means is certainly not like a negative tone. It's nobody's in trouble, it's feedback that's given to students, and you consider it a redirect if the student wasn't meeting the expectation at that time.
Right, to support them to succeed.
Exactly. Yes. That's our job. So
right.
That's what I mean. PBIS isn't just this Pollyanna thing where we just look at positive things. No, we're paying attention to all behaviors, but we're being conscientious that we're paying more attention to when kids are meeting the expectations than when they're not. And that's a flip. There have been studies on how much, on the ratio of interactions. And typically, the ratio of interactions is more like 5 to 10 negatives for every positive. And we're trying to flip that to 3 positives to every redirect.
I mean, it just makes sense. But absolutely. If you don't pay attention to how many negatives are happening, you
right.
didn't realize it. And then,
right.
This is Jillian Morrissey, the public information officer for the Matsu Borough School District. And I've been here in the studio with Tracy Peterson, our executive director of instruction, talking about PBIS. What should our listeners know? Did I miss anything? What did I miss about PBIS that's important?
Well, there is a lot that I probably just kind of scratched the surface on. I guess one thing that I would want people to know about is that we've adopted social-emotional learning standards in our district this past year. And PBIS is really the tools for how we get at social-emotional learning. Again, that's a whole other topic to talk about, social-emotional learning, but we know that's just as important as academic learning. In fact, many, many studies show that it's more important in success for adults if they have their EQ is more important than their IQ for being successful adults. So emotional intelligence, in other words. So PBIS schools really are supporting our social-emotional learning standards, which is about students' self-awareness and self-management, social awareness, problem solving. So those are the competencies that we're building in students through implementing positive behavior supports in schools. So it's pretty important stuff.
Clearly. This is our part of our pathways to success. I mean,
right.
our mission is to prepare all students for success. And for some kids, this is going to be the most important piece
Absolutely.
Of their puzzle.
Absolutely.
If any listeners want to learn more, you can always visit our website at www.matsuk12.us and look under the Office of Instruction and
yep.
See more about our curriculum and find contact information for Tracy and her team over there. So thank you, Tracy, for coming in today.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.
I'll hope to have you back soon. Take
All
care.
Right. Thanks.
You've been listening to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with information about what's happening in the Matsu schools, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.